Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we know that you are here with us. And we ask you, Lord, you quicken our minds and our hearts to be able to hear your word, to be able to appropriate, Lord, what you gave us, and to be able to receive, Lord, the things, Lord, that you want to do in our lives. We just praise and thank you, Lord, for we know, Lord, that in the Word there is everything that we need for life and godliness, that we can grow, Lord, to be strong in you and to be able to overcome all the circumstances of our lives, Lord. And we just praise and thank you for that. Lord, today we just open our heart to you, that you may minister life unto us and strength and victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, well, in this series we have been talking about the prayer, the mystery of prayer. We're going to continue in what I was sharing with you last Sunday, trying to go more in detail. You know, as I've been teaching this on this topic, it's amazing because we all pray, we all spend time, we've been spending time, I've been with the Lord more than 40 years. It's nothing new, prayer is nothing new. But really, as I've been teaching these things to you, I probably got much more than you got. The Lord has been giving me so much new, fresh revelation about this. And I hope that, some of it I've been able to rub onto you. Because this is what makes the difference. You know, revelation is not something new that hasn't been there all the time. Revelation is something that you can see in the Word that was there all the time, but you before didn't see it. And so when we get this new understanding, we can appreciate and receive so much more from God because he is unveiling himself to us and enabling us to come to a deeper relationship with him. And so it's so exciting to see that you can be with him for 40 years, and it never ends. Amen. God is infinite. His truth is more than what we can ever grasp, at least for now. And he is there to open it up to us so that we can be blessed, completely blessed. Amen? Amen. So what I'm going to be looking today, I was describing some things last week. I'm going to get deeper into that and see how breakthroughs beyond the physical reality happen when we pray. I said, the prayer, brings us to a different level in a spiritual dimension. Now we can see how this new dimension that we get in, how does it work and how it operates. And really, we can get many things for us even today just reading the first book of the Bible. Just the first chapter and the first two or three chapters there is almost everything that we need. And when we understand new things, even on the New Testament, we can see how they relate to there. So I'm going to be, reading from you something from Genesis chapter 3. Verse 22 says, "Then the Lord God says, 'Behold, man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he puts out his hand and also take out also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.'" So what he's going to do, lest he puts his hand and takes from the tree of life. This is something that the Lord said that time. See, when Adam fell, he got separated from God. And that separation was something that had an impact on him and everybody else that came after. And the life that God had given him was also cut off before there was no death. You know, lots of people look at the first book of the Bible and think, you know, this is just mythology, just stories. The thing is, you see, the reason why people think that way is because they do not understand the spiritual dimension. The spiritual dimension is more real than the physical dimension. Because the spiritual dimension is where from all things came about that are physically, that we can see it today. So there is much more reality in that than what we see and can touch and can relate to in the flesh, to our senses. It's much more real, much more solid than solid things. When we understand that, then we can understand some things. Otherwise, we cannot understand the Bible. Otherwise, it becomes just a book of stories. When instead, you see, the problem is when God said they cannot come anymore, you see, I said, because they know this, they are lost the ability to penetrate in that dimension. Let me continue some verses because this is so much related to prayer and to us today. So therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. See, before he didn't need to work. Praise the Lord. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim, and on the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. You see, there was something that took place that cut off man from that dimension. Completely. And there was these cherubims, actually they're plural, this is cherubim is in Hebrew, and it's actually there were angels there, and this angel's function is to guard the space, the spiritual dimension for people not to get in. The only legal way to get in there is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. But people try to get in illegally in other ways. That's what the occult is. Okay, that is illegal, and there is a sword there to protect that space. That indicates God's intention and God's position concerning these things. Okay. It's fatal to try to pass through illegally into that dimension. The cherubs are there and shows the intention of God to keep people out, and people were kept out from that dimension until Jesus came and died for us. See, when Jesus died for us, up to that moment, to access in the temple, the Holy of Holies, which was where the presence of God was kept, where the Ark of the Covenant was staying. On the Ark of the Covenant, there were two cherubims in it to indicate God's protection. See, nobody could come close to that without the blood of animals to penetrate it. Only the high priest could get in. See, because it was forbidden to even get close to that. When David was trying to get the ark into Jerusalem, they were carrying him, carrying it. You know, the soil wasn't very good, so it was almost tipped off because they were carrying it by shoulder. And one of the people with good intention touched it, and it was killed instantaneously. See, that those things cannot be touched by man without permission from God. And when, so in front of the Holy of Holies, there was a curtain, a veil. We call it veil, but actually it was about that thick. Okay? Like a palm thick. And was separating man from the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was. When Jesus died, the veil was split from the top to the bottom to indicate that things had changed. Actually, see, if you go to what really we understand today, and actually was understood even then, you see, we are the temple of God. Jesus was the temple of God himself. And when his body was broken for us, the veil was actually cut at the same time. The two things happen at the same time. And if you remember reading the Bible, it says even the Roman soldier, when saw Jesus dying, he repeated, "This certainly was the Son of God." Why do you think that was? Because he saw the glory of God manifested when Jesus' body was broken. Now, how does it apply today? Well, now we are not anymore separated by the veil. You see, we have access through Jesus' blood to the presence of God. When we pray, that's what we do. That's what we should do. We should understand that God is not far away from us. We can access his presence because that's what he wants, and that's what we can do as we come before him in Jesus' name. With boldness, we can come before the throne because we know that we are covered by the blood.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
You see, the situation now is changed. We are no longer separated because of what he did. And when we are in him, we have accepted what he has done. We have accepted that he died for our sins so that we can be forgiven. The separation is taken away, And we have access to the presence of God. Not completely yet in the body. The physical body is still under bondage until the second coming. And that has to happen soon, I think.
Amen.
Because what we see taking place today in the world and the fulfillment of all the prophecies that were done before the second coming, that means that we are there. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited because this is going to make such a big difference in us. If you know him, you should be excited. This is probably the most exciting time in history, or the history of humankind. So we are just at the threshold of the rapture. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Jesus, you know, restored things. We can see, you know, many scriptures in the New Testament confirm and reinforce that. 1 John 3:8 says very clearly, he who sins is of the devil, and for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that we may destroy the works of the devil. See, what the major works that he had done, except, you know, there are all the physical things that took place as well, but the major things that he did is to make us separated from God. And Jesus destroyed that work. Hallelujah. We can access the Father without having to go through, you know, ceremonies or things. We have access to him just as we are, because we are forgiven. Hallelujah. You know, we have an high priest before the house of God. You see, before the high priest would go and do the sacrifice, he did sacrifice himself for us so that we have access to him. You know, in first, the scripture I read before was saying, you know, that there was not any more access to the tree of life. The tree of life is the place where, you know, where we receive the life from God. That's what he put in us when we were created. Well, you know, 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life. This is the highest life that was in the tree of life. That's, we already have it. Hallelujah. And this life is in his Son. So you see, through him, we got this life into us. Hallelujah. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So you see, the thing is, you know, sometimes these things are kind of abstract and difficult to connect to. But if you can start looking at the way it was described in the Old Testament, and the way, you know, otherwise you really don't, cannot say what, you know, what does it mean? But when, you see, this is why I brought back to the beginning. Because that is where the life was taken off. And this is when Jesus, what Jesus did is when the life came back to us. Hallelujah. We can have that. See, there's Hebrew chapter 10, verse 19, that I was quoting even before. You know, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holies of holies by the blood of Jesus, that we may be by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. You see, what I explained before is reinforced and confirmed by all the scriptures. And we can today experience God in a way that until Jesus came, it was not possible. And this is for anyone that receives what he has done for them. Hallelujah. So, in Romans chapter 5, verse 18 says, therefore, as though through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through a man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. See, we are justified because of what Jesus did. And that time, that day, although it was a sad day to see him going through the things he went through, was the greatest victory that he ever conquered when he was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. So, Romans 5:19, the following verse was, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many were be made righteous. So this is where the righteousness that we have come from. Is not our work, is what he did for us, is what he made it possible for us to be, not even to do. Hallelujah. So when we, you know, as people that have access now, you know, to the Father, And when we pray, we just come into His presence. We don't need to go into a temple. We don't need to go any place, because He's here with us, and we can go to Him through our prayers. And when we go to Him in our prayer, He's right there with us to connect and to relate to us right where we are. Hallelujah. See, that means, you know, if you pray and you don't connect with God, you are wasting your time. Because the prayer is just as far as what you said it. But when you connect with God, connect with the reality, you see, has to do with you believing in His presence right there. In you receiving His presence through your faith, that then there is an impact, a change, an effect, because what you do really there through your faith, you're moving from this physical world on which our senses keep us bound according to the old situation before Jesus came, into a new dimension, a spiritual dimension in which you and God can commune together. And when we commune with God, something happens. I mean, we cannot remain the same when we meet with God. Anytime we come before God and we meet with God, a change takes place in us. Things change. We are transformed. We, you know, you rub shoulders with God, you cannot be the same as you were before. And each time you do that, something new should be taking place. If something did not take place, that means you really didn't get there. You got there, and the only way to get there is by faith, by believing, by not believing what your physical senses tell you, what your eyes can see, what you think and touch, you know, but what your spiritual senses tell you. There are parallel senses in the spirit. You can see things in the spirit. You can feel things in the spirit. You can hear things in the spirit, just the same as you do in the with your physical senses. And those things are open to you, and is legal for us because of what Jesus did to go and encounter the Father without being destroyed, like was in the Old Testament. Are you following me? See, that is what it should. Prayer is the way we can pray. It's an honor to be able to go in the presence of God Almighty, the one who created the heaven and earth, the one who did everything, that gave life to life in general. You know, can you imagine to go before a king or any high dignitary, and you go before him, and you know, especially in the old time, they would kneel down, they would bring gifts. We can go before God. We can connect with the creator of all universe. You know, it seems too much for our mind to grasp something like that, if our mind is not renewed by the Word of God. See, only the Word of God can change our perspective, because otherwise all our knowledge is based on our senses. That means our flesh. Are you following me? You know, it seems too much, but it's not too much. It's a reality for us. This is what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. See, when we go before God in prayer, and we do it in the flesh, according to our senses, we get nowhere. We have to open up our heart and pray in spirit and in truth, like says in John 4:24. See, when we pray in spirit and in truth, then when we do that, we transcend the physical world. We get in touch with the source of everything. Hallelujah. We cannot do it in our own self. You see, this is why if we have accepted Jesus, and especially if we are born again, and we are spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit is in us. And the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to do, to take that step to being into the presence of God. It is God Himself working inside us that brings us to that place. It is not us in our human capacity. It's in Him that we can be lifted up and to be able to meet with God. No limit. Hallelujah. And we have to grow into that experience. Sometimes, you know, some people reach that kind of an experience in situation when they have been stressed or whatever. They are seeking, they are calling upon God. And, you know, they go deep enough within themselves to reach that point. You know, this should be the normal thing for us. Not something that happened once in a while. God wants our communion with Him. He wants us to relate to Him, to be able to receive from Him, to be able to hear Him, and to get the direction that we need. He wants fellowship with us more than we want fellowship with Him. And the more we understand Him, the more we do that, the more we want it too. To the point that becomes the most important thing. See, this is what He wants too. That for us, He should be the center of our life. The thing that motivates us to live. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you see, this is what happens. You know? When Jesus was teaching how to pray to the apostles or the disciples, you know, in Luke, for example, chapter 11, verse 2, you know, He said, you know, to them, you know, when you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, your kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, tradition took this as something that you memorize and try to repeat all the time without even thinking. This is not Jesus, was not Jesus' intention. He was showing us a pattern to follow when we pray. So it's not a question of memorizing, it's really a question of understanding what happens within ourselves to be able to communicate and get in touch with God. Okay, and it says, you know, first of all, the approach, you know, the identity of God as our Father was something that was completely, you know, not common, to say the least, in the Old Testament. You see, seeing God, the Creator of the universe, as our Father, and addressing Him the way is often done in the, you know, Abba, Father, Daddy, not just Father, you know, from a distance. You know, this is indication that, you know, the type of relationship that we have with Him is a close relationship, is a family relationship. We are His children and He is our Daddy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we go before Him. And we say, you know, He has said, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you see, your kingdom come. We are already bringing the heaven down here. Or we already are getting there to be able to see and agree and experience what happens there. This is why when we meet with God, things change. When we are burdened, the burden, and we really met with Him, the burden lifts. When we are troubled by things, the trouble dissipates because God is bigger than our troubles. Now, sometimes may be difficult to get to that point because our feelings and our emotions are in the way. But that's what He makes available for us so that we may be breaking through. See, that's the breakthrough from the physical into the spiritual realm. That's what He wants to bring about. He says, you know, Allah be thy, your name. You know, Allah be is really indicating that this is honored or worshipped. You know, people talk about this in a very superficial way. You know, our words don't count. Our actions are what really should reflect what's happening. So it's in spirit and in truth. We can say, praise the Lord, or whatever we want to say, you know, but we walk and we do the things that we want to do instead of what He wants to do. See, you cannot honor Him by doing your own thing. You have to honor Him by doing the things He wants you to do. So, you see, otherwise it's just empty words. It's like, you know, you see your wife or your husband and say, oh, I love you. And really, there is nothing there. Because there is no evidence of what you're talking about. The evidence is what really demonstrates more than the words sometimes what is there. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So really, you know, if we are really honoring God, that means that we were going to do some things that are pleasing Him. For example, we spend time with the person we love. So we will be spending time with Him as a priority in our life. You know, we'll be listening to what He says to us, and maybe correcting us or directing us through His word. If we don't listen, that means we don't care. You know, we'll be not just listening for correction, but we'll be obeying what He's saying to us. Because otherwise, just get one ear, go out of the other. I mean, obeying, tithing, doing all the things, you know, demonstrating that we, you know, He is the center of our life, makes a difference. It shows to Him and to us that we really are not just speaking empty words, but they're really reflecting what is in our heart. See, you can fool your pastor, you can fool yourself, but you can't fool God. He knows before you open your mouth what you think. You know, He knows before even you do it where you're going to do it. Hallelujah. You know, people think, and I'm not to criticize, but, you know, people think that you just say a little sinner's prayer and you get saved, quotation marks, or born again. Huh. It's not a little sinner's prayer is not a magic formula. It's what you really believe with your heart that makes a difference. Are you following me? See, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth, not in words and in show. Praise the Lord. So, as you get into this state of mind, as you go before God, you go in faith, you go believing, you go acknowledging His presence, you realize who He is, and you realize the relationship He has with you, and you are focused on not to the things that you see, but the things that you don't see. We talked about this last time. You know, you automatically start moving in the dimension of spiritual dimension that is there available to you, in which you can communicate with Him. So the first thing that happens when you do that, you start seeing things from a spiritual perspective and not a physical one anymore. You see, that's the beginning of the breakthrough. Because your mentality, your thinking, your approach is going to start changing the way you see life, you see things happening around you, you change everything. You see, only when that happens, your prayers start to be effective. Are you following me? See, that's the place we want. See, that when that happens, you know that you got somewhere. Otherwise, there's work to do. You have to break through. And the breakthrough is available. This is what God wants for us. God wants us to break through. God wants us to approach Him, to receive Him, to communicate with Him, to share with Him, to fellowship with Him, to love Him, to be one with Him. You know, if when we get a bit of this understanding, you know, you get really excited. You get really motivated to go and seek His face. You spend time in prayers all the time because it's the best place you can be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You know, this is an image that says is abstract. Uh-huh. This is a reality in which we can come and be able to start seeing things from that position. This is what I'm talking about. We are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, if you are sitting up there, you look down, you see a completely different thing. See, that changes, see, to start with, it changes your position. When your position is changed, other things change too. You know, this becomes real. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, that's what's happening. Becomes natural to walk by faith because you are from a different perspective. Okay? In Romans 8, 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," and really the tense there shows that you are continuously led by the Spirit of God, "these are the sons of God." So this is the thing that God wants to actually do in us. And prayer is the door in. Do you see the importance that prayer has in our life? But when, you know, it's not just, "God, please do," and then we have a list there of 25 items that we need. That's not what we are talking about. We are talking about coming in contact with the living God and being transported at the level in which we can interact with Him personally. And He starts changing us into what He wants us to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now we can understand some of the things. If we, you know, see this from this perspective, then we can start seeing some things. You know, for example, Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart we believe into righteousness." And that means, you know, with the heart, believing, we have access to God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That means, you know, what we say, oh no, confession is not just a question of saying, you know, I did this or the other thing, or I need that or the other thing. Confession means to say the same thing that he says. Homologeo in Greek, which actually means to say what he said. So if we say what he said, you know, we are in heavenly places sitting with him, and we agree with him, and we confess that, you know, we say it and we confess it with our mouth, we shall be delivered, set free from the hindrances and the limitation that this physical world put around us. See, that's the place where miracles take place. See, this is when we break to that place, then miracles is the normal thing to happen. Sometimes we find it difficult to do that. But here, you know, just following the scripture I just finished reading, in verse 11 says, the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So that means, you know, this is a guarantee that we can get that when we get to that place. And it's really up to us. Hallelujah. You know, when you do that, all the efforts are finished. And I give you an example. And with this, we are going to close. You know, the moment which you reach that place, God sets you free. And from everything, circumstances, enemies, anyone. And this is an Old Testament example that shows to us that is given in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Israel, actually, was Judah, was surrounded by three armies of enemies. They were a small nation, and there were three big nations around and wanted to take over. And, you know, Jehoshaphat was the leader there. King was scared, went before God praying for help. There is no way that we can make it, he thought. And God anointed young man and prophesied and gave him direction on what to do. And says, forget about fighting. You can win by fighting. The way you're going to win is by praying and worshiping. And he, Jehoshaphat, heeded to the Lord, listened to what he was receiving, and decided to obey God. See, it's no use for God to speak to us if we don't obey. If we don't listen, first of all, first we seek, then we listen, and then we obey, then it's up to him. I want to just read to you a few verses here on what took place. And when he, Jehoshaphat, you know, had consulted the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. And they went before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. See, they were worshiping God. They were trusting God. Now, this was complete suicide. From the point of view of logic, it was the craziest thing that you can ever imagine. This powerful army of three nations coming against them, and they were, you know, sending the people singing, praise the Lord, his mercy endureth forever, going to the battlefield. And they didn't even consider arming themselves for just about. They just, the soldiers were just following, praising the Lord. That was crazy. See, God works beyond our logic. God works in ways that we cannot understand. Let's see what happened. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So, let me continue. And we just go to a few little comments afterwards. So, and then Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, and they looked toward the multitudes that were there, and their bodies, and there were their bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. What had happened? Well, they just killed each other. They got confused and they killed each other. Now it's interesting that in the book of Revelation talks about a similar situation that is going to happen, I believe, shortly. When many nations are going to be against Israel. And what happened is that God is going to intervene exactly the same way as intervened then. That's what is written in. See, you have to realize one thing. There are many holy books with different beliefs. But there is only one book that gives prophecies, thousands of prophecies of things to come in it. And that's the Bible, the only one. You see, no one dares to predict the future but God. See, that's the proof that is speaking the truth. Now, just on Jesus' life, there are more than 300 prophecies that were fulfilled, literally. But there are many more prophecies that are going to be fulfilled for the second coming because they're there in the Bible already. He's coming back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let me continue here. Then Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil. They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could even carry. And they were 3 days gathering spoil because there was too much. You see, this shows one thing. See, what God can do and what we can do is not even on the same order of magnitude. Okay? I mean, it's a completely different story. Now, we can see this. You know, this is just one of the stories. But this happened over and over again. You know, God spoke to this young man that prophesies with King Jehoshaphat to encourage him and to give him direction. He obeyed, and God moved. Now, that was the results of prayer. They actually went before God. They were able to break through. God was able to come to them and break through so that they brought them to a different level, a level in which they had to operate that wasn't physical level, was a spiritual level because they were worshiping him. And God could move and bring about complete reversal of the situation. Do you see how this applied to us? When we pray, when we go before the Lord, we are going to be able to change things as we operate in faith, as we see him who he is, as we allow him to do, to maybe give us direction and correction, and as we are willing to be obedient. But you know, you cannot be obedient when you have a problem. You have to be obedient before. So that when you have a problem, or we are surrounded by enemies, and you ask, is the natural thing for you to do, to go in his presence, there is no separation, and he can minister to you, changing what's happening. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, this is should be, for us, even better than people in the Old Testament. Because the veil was still there. The veil is not there anymore. See, this should motivate us to go before him in prayer every day. To allow him to minister to us, to change us. But you know, each time we go before Him, we should be touched. And if we are not touched, it's because we really didn't get there. We were distracted. We were going through the motion. We were repeating a prayer. We were repeating things. It's not repeating things. It's being there in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, let's close in prayer. Praise the Lord. Let's make a confession together. Praise you, Lord. Heavenly Father. Thank you for what you did for us, for giving us access to you whenever we need it. You promised to us that you never leave us nor forsake us, so we can come to you in whatever situation we are, to praise you, to worship you, to acknowledge everything that you are, and you have everything that you have done for us. And so we thank you today. We praise you. Give you all the honor and the glory. Lord, us washed by the blood of Jesus, we receive your word, your direction, your life, your eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.